I shall now proceed to relate a few providential trials and deliverances which have happened to me since I was called to the work of the ministry, which have driven me to such despair at times that I have often said, my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than life, Job 7, verse 15. But when deliverance has come, it has been a fresh song of praise to God, and I have seen it all right, and would not have been without them for all that the world calls good or great. The Lord knows how to secure the glory to himself. Bury was the first place where I began to preach in the regular way, and after a few months the people increased, if I recollect rightly, to about 30. We then agreed to take a larger room in a street called, I think, King Street. There we met for some time, still continuing to increase a little. And then they engaged to give me 4 shillings per week for 12 months. We had at that time 6 children under 12 years of age, and being nothing but a weaver, I was sometimes driven into such straits and trials that I verily believed my end would be the poorhouse. Indeed, I could not see how it could be possible for us to escape it. When I had not the sweet presence of God shining in my soul, I was sunk into fears that I should never be able to hold on my way without bringing a reproach upon the cause of God. For several weeks I seemed to be going into a decline, for what with preaching, hard work, and faring so hard that sometimes for days together I had not half enough to satisfy sinking nature, I was brought so low that I could scarce crawl about, but I was forced to attend to the work as well as I could. One morning, I well recollect, I had been up very early, trying to get my work finished as soon as I could, for there was not one morsel to have until I had carried it home. Between 11 and 12 o'clock, I had to send a girl to fetch me some yarn for the masters to finish with. My wife, having a child at the breast, burst out into tears and said, "Oh dear, I am so faint and weak that I cannot live, for you cannot get the piece in before dinner, and it will be nearly night before we have anything." I tried to cheer her up all that I could and told her we could not tell, but that the Lord might send us a good dinner by some means or other, but she said she knew there would be no such thing. The girl comes by and by with the yarn to finish my work and brings a bag in her hand, saying, "I found this bag in the middle of the road. I thought it belonged to a man who was driving a cart, and I called out to him and told him that he had lost the bag, but he had said he had not. I said it was not mine, for I had found it in the road, and I would have given it him, but he said I must take it home, for he would not have it. So I opened the bag, and the first thing I brought out was a large piece of bread and of meat, next a large piece of cheese, and a very good pudding. Oh, how I stood wondering and adoring, blessing and praising the kind hand of my covenant God for supplying my needs in such a way. Oh, how sweet were those words, 'The cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine. The earth is mine, and all the silver and gold are mine.' And upon the back of it, how sweet did that promise flow into my soul, 'Thy bread shall be given thee, thy water shall be sure,' Isaiah 33:16. Here I saw that the Lord had all in his hands, both in heaven and on earth, angels, men, and devils, and my soul kept hanging upon him from week to week.